I've got the pleasure of bringing up Pastor Mike, who's our founding pastor. If you were here last week, you know that David Liao brought the word from Kings Park. I was maybe just a couple of years ago completely aware, and maybe I knew this Pastor Mike, and I just failed to remember, but we are actually Kings Park's first church plant over 35 years ago, back in 1990. And then at that time, Pastor Mike and his wife, Mary Beth, felt the call of God to come here to Greenville and start a Bible study here on ECU's campus in Jones Hall. And the rest, as they say, is history. So with that in mind, let's bring a warm welcome up to Pastor Mike as he brings the word of life this morning.
All right. We good? All right. BJ gave me a thumbs up, so that's a good sign. You're in trouble. It's good to be here today, isn't it? Thank God. You know, I'm always grateful when we get to come in here and worship the Lord and enter His presence and just bask in all that God has for us. And there's so much, I think, that in our lives that we encounter and deal with, and I want to talk a little bit today. The title of my message is going to be The Lord Our Keeper. We're going to take a look at Psalm 121 and the seasons and stations of life, a little bit about that, looking at the scripture and how we see God. There's one thing, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's, as you do life and you navigate seasons and stations, you're going to find in each season and each station of life, you're going to get an education about who God is in the context of the time and season that you're in. And I think it's important that every chapter builds upon something to direct you and to lead you and guide you into the next season or the next chapter or the next station. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Did I lose anybody? Okay, good. All right, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your grace today, and we humble ourselves before you today, Father, acknowledging your grace. Lord, that we are in awe of you. We pause for a moment, and we put our eyes upon you today. With all the complexities and seasons and things that we navigate in life, Lord, we put our eyes upon you. We stop to be still and know that you're God. Lord, that we stop today to know that no weapon that's formed against us will prosper. Lord, we stop today to be still and know that our salvation is in you. Lord, we pause to put our eyes upon the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, bless our time and your word, Father. We are your people called by your name. This is your house. And Lord, we just pray that you'd have your way this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. All right. Psalm 121. We're going to read this, and then we're going to break this down into four sections, and kind of I'm going to comment on each section. Okay? Psalm 121. One of my favorite psalms, it's one of those things that no matter how many times you've read it and come back to it, it's always new. It's always fresh, and I'm so grateful for that. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord is our keeper. A keeper is a person who manages or looks after something or someone. Now, I want you to stop right there and just think about that for a minute. A keeper. You know, we think about a kind of like a gardener is tending a garden. A keeper is someone who's managing, looking over, constantly observing, constantly nurturing, constantly protecting, constantly seeing and observing and watching what's going on with something. In this case, it's your Heavenly Father and your life. It's your the love of the Creator of time and space, the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, the one who, as James said, raises the dead, the resurrection and life, the bread of heaven, Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and makes provision, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who was and the one who shall be and the one who shall always be. He's your keeper. So there's nothing about your life that escapes his notice. Let's start in verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this verse, says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, probably meant the hills on which the temple was built, Mount Moriah and the holy hill of Zion, where the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing the presence of God, the oracle and the altars were. The lift up your eyes to the hills acknowledges that you're looking for a sustenance, a power, a help to come from something that is going to sustain me. And if I pause for a second, I remind myself constantly over and over, this is not just the God who shows up on occasion. This is the maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, not somebody else. Not something that's going to try and sustain me or get me through in a temporary fix. This is the constant, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. This is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who when David's writing this is not looking at it in a momentary place, if you will, but a historical context of all that he's known for generation after generation about Yahweh. And then we fast forward to our time in this and we look back at history and see all that God has done throughout the church and his faithfulness and his consistency and how many times when we were at the end of ourselves, God came through. He's our keeper. He's our keeper. He helps us. One of the most critical things about this is why we lift up our eyes and look on him is because life hits us in so many ways that it's easy to lose perspective. It's easy to lose perspective. No matter whether you're a teenager today or maybe you're at a very wise and mature station of life like myself. You might be a little bit older or something like that. No matter what station you're in, you're constantly having to navigate something that is stretching you to a place that you're going, Lord, have mercy. What in the world? And your head spins. And you're going, how in the world? What are we going to do about this? How's this going to go? I was having a conversation with somebody the other day and just how a phone call can change a moment. And all of a sudden something, you just thought you were answering the phone, and all of a sudden, your whole world changes. Your whole life changes. Something impacts it. Something touches it. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I've never done anything like this before. I've never been through something like this before. God, help me. As we grow throughout life, what we see changes. Our lenses change. God changes our lenses to all of a sudden not just see from a temporal view of life, but an eternal view of life. To try and grasp his vantage point of how he looks at things. The more we walk with Jesus, the more we're transformed, the Bible says, from one image of glory to the next. The more life becomes a mirror and causes us to look and say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will. Lord, I want your way. I want your perspective on this situation. I want to know how you see this situation. Sometimes we need to pray that way. Lord, help me to see how to manage this person in my life. I would be fine if I didn't have to deal with people. Right? Sometimes. But yet, people are God's greatest catalyst for your life change. Whether you like it or not. I didn't ask for this. I wasn't praying about this. It's not what I look for. God says, yeah, I know that. But you need it. There we go. We don't like that. God is constantly and continually changing our lenses so that we see life and we navigate life, hopefully from his vantage point. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What kind of help do you need today? What are you looking for today? Help is not a one-time occurrence, but an acknowledgement that apart from him, I can do nothing. Amen. And we need him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4 through 16 says this, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find what? Say it out loud. Grace to help in time of need. Grace to help. See, the beauty of the cross is that in the old covenant, the priest could only go in and enter for the holy place for the people himself. Obviously, in the new covenant, through the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ tore the veil of the temple and eradicated the separation between God and man. So now, every day of your life, because of the blood of Jesus, not your performance, not did you read your Bible enough today? Did you pray enough today? Did you cross your T, dot your I? Did you look right? Or something like that. You have access to the throne of grace. And you don't, and what we have to wrap our brains around is you don't step into the throne of grace with like a feeling of I've got to do something. Or I've got to perform. You know, there's this expectation that somehow I've got to back my way in. Why does he say come boldly with confidence? Because that underscores an understanding that you're welcome. Absolutely come ask me. Absolutely come talk to me. I love what David said last week. You know, we don't come to get from God. We come to get God himself. But when you come to him, he's there. He's ready and he's willing to help you in your time of need and be that source of hope, be that source of encouragement, be that source of sustenance, be that source of love, be that source of understanding, be that source of grace. Whatever you might need in your moment, he's there. He is your access. Our walk with Christ is a journey, not a destination. And each season or chapter calls us to lift up our eyes over and over again. To realize my help comes from the Lord, not my might, my wisdom, my strength, but God's strength and ability. Look at the next section, verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Psalm 16:8 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He will not let your foot be moved. You matter to God. Now that's I've counseled so many people over the years, And when they come in, it's always like an undercurrent or an undertone of, you know, I understand how you could like him or her, but me, I'm not so sure. There's always a little bit of a hesitation. Absolutely, you matter to God. But that's what the story of the cross is all about. It's God's love. Amen. That you cannot begin to fathom the height, the breadth, the length, the depth of the love of God. We in our finite, fallen humanity cannot begin to wrap our brains around the vastness of the Creator of the ends of the earth and his affection for you. Where you're at in life, what you're dealing with, how you're trying to believe God to move forward in life or face the challenges that you're facing that seem to be insurmountable or seem to be so difficult that it just gets so overwhelming, your mind shuts down. Man, I've been there. I've been in situations where I could hardly think. It was so intense. And you know what? We got through it. You get on the other side. I remember we were navigating something here. This was like, I can't remember what year, early 2000s. And we were pastoring at that, you know, and we were just going through a really challenging, difficult time. And I was walking through the parking lot, and one of our deacons, a good friend of mine, David McDowell, drove through, and he said, "Pastor Mike, how you doing, brother?" And those who know David would understand. David, we're hanging in there. He said, "Man, you look like death warmed over." I said, "I feel like death warmed over." But sometimes it gets so intense, but you have to understand, no matter where you are in your own capacity, it does not, God has no limitations to his capacity. We run out of gas, we run out of understanding, we run out of how to handle things, and that's why you lift up your eyes. That's why you look, that's why you ask, that's why you beseech and pray and just say, you're not striving to try and get him to help you or love you or care for you. No, you're just coming. You're coming to talk to him. You matter to God, and what you're going through matters to God. I think one of the greatest lies of the enemy is that somehow you got forgotten. You've never been forgotten. I've been a Christian a long time. God forgets no one. He's always faithful. Even on our worst day. No matter how ugly, we might have a bad hair day and just like, you know, you go home and just going, "Well, that was bad." You're not forgotten. He cares. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Anybody ever have trouble? Right crowd? Okay, good. Trouble. May the name of the God, may he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. In the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petition. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. We rise. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, the Bible says, to make them sit with nobles. He says, stains the weary one with the word. Lazarus, come forth. Sometimes you just need to take a moment, just go, John, come forth. Melody, come forth. Fill your name in. Just come forth. He's got you. He's got you. Hebrews chapter 6. Bear with me. I think I got ahead of myself. Bear with me a second. I'm sorry. Nope, I'm good. He is not slumbering. He's not slumbering. He's not sleeping. Whatever this is in your world, he's got this. Whatever that this is in your world, he's got this. Whatever that looks like. When God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. He is the anchor of your soul. Why? Because when you lift up your eyes on him, he's going to give you what you need for your moment. At every trial, every biggest challenge I face, I would always, my way that God has taught me is, Lord, give me a word. I need a word for this season. And the amazing thing is, every time I've been in that place, God would show up. Not because of anything I did, I just, Lord, I remember when I was going through something one time, I called my best friend, Pastor Ron, Kings Park, founder of Kings Park International Church, worked with Pastor Ron for 7 years before we came here and planned this church. Ron, man, I don't know what to tell you. I got this, and this going on. He listened to me, and he said, wow, I've never known that to go well. Well, would you pray for me here? Yeah, those usually don't go well. I'm like, oh boy, this is getting better. But at the end of the day, it's like, God, what are you saying for this moment? When we lift up our eyes and we look on Jesus, he's your help. He's right there for you. Let's look at verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. He's your keeper. He's your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. If you think about this, it's the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. So the cloud comes to do what? What do clouds do to the sun? Block it out. So you're not, you're like, oh, thank God, a little relief. He's the cloud by day, the fire of God by night. Why? So that you're led and guided and by his counsel and wisdom and watch over your life. He will lead you and guide you and counsel you by his word, with his eye upon you. He's the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. The Lord is good, and many times we feel like, okay, we're at a place where we feel weak and we feel vulnerable. That right-hand shade is what God comes in and says, hey, look, I've got your back. I've got your back. So many times, situations we go through are so out of our control that it's like, man, you know, this could really go south. But God's got your back. He's got those places in your life where you're vulnerable. He's got your back. The Lord is good. It does not matter whether we had a popular vote on, do you think the Lord's good? I think the Lord's good. Most of the time, I'm not sure some of the time, but taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. The Lord is good. It's not up for vote. It does not matter what things look like, how dark it gets. God is good. It's who he is. You can't separate his essence and his nature and his character from the fact that he loves you. He cares about you. Dear God, he went to the cross so that humanity could be redeemed. And because of that love, he's been watching over everything since that place to say, I'm going to have a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I'm going to have this individual or that individual fulfill what I've called them to because he cares. Because of his grace, because of his love. He's good. It does not matter how we feel. It does not matter how things look. It does not matter what somebody said. It doesn't matter what my head says, my circumstances. The reality is God is good. At the end of the day, God is good. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. Let's just pause right there. I don't know about you, that sounds good to me. Yeah, I'll take a dose of that, right? The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your what? Life. What does it mean to be a keeper? Someone who manages, watches over, sustains it, monitors it, nurtures it, cares for it. Touches it when it needs to be touched, gardens it, protects it, eradicates things that would be harmful to it. He's your keeper. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep. Now, this is really good. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forever. When the Bible talks about going out and coming in, it's referring to places where you're taking steps in life to do his calling, his bidding, his will for your life. Seasons where you step out, seasons where you step in to new things, step out of old things. All that God has maybe put on your heart and you're navigating something new or something fresh, he's there watching over every single aspect and facet of it to let you know you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I've got you. You're going to make it. Keep your eyes on me. Amen. Keep your eyes on me. I've got you. He will keep you from all evil. When you plant a church, when you go into a city and plant a church, Devon's kind of wanted to meet me and talk to me a little bit about what was it like for us to come into a city and plant a church. When you come into plant a church in a city, it's a journey. Not everybody gets real excited about that. Why are you here? Well, my wife and I just moved here from Cary. We feel like God's called us to ECU and the city of Greenville. We're going to plant a church. We believe that God's told us that, you know, we want to grow a church as the city's going to grow and just see God move and stuff like that. Why? Did somebody ask you to come here? Remember one time I was going to get we were making some flyers and stuff, and I took some this into this one copy place, and the girl just, I said, hey, I'd like to make a few copies of this. Why? I'm like, I just want some copies. That was a long time ago, obviously. He will keep you from all evil in every season, in every challenge, every trial and test. The Lord is watching over your life. Matthew Henry says, this psalm, Psalm 121, directs and encourages us to repose ourselves and our confidence in God and by faith to put ourselves under his protection and commit ourselves to his care, which we must do, look at this, with entire resignation and satisfaction. What does that mean? It's called letting go of control. Here's where it gets exciting. When you're parenting, the first time your kid drives a car by themselves, you believe in prayer. I mean, it's an adventure. You're going, okay, here we go. Buck up our seatbelts. They're out there now. you kind of feel sorry for everybody else. You know, you're kind of like, oh, Lord, guard all the other people from my child who's driving. But there are so many aspects of life when you're talking about control that you're having to let go of, because you cannot always control how people are going to treat you. You can only control how you respond to it. And sometimes that gets real personal. It can be hurtful. It can be offensive. But at the end of the day, I'm not responsible for them. I'm only stewarding the will of God in my life. Lord, help me handle this well. Lord, help me not want to send this person on a flight in the wrong spirit, you know, or something like that. God, help me handle it well. He will keep you from all evil. Every step of the way, every challenge, every season, when you think about it, every season you're young, you go to college. I'm just going to go down kind of a path. You go to college and you're thinking, okay, I've got my friends at this place, and God works in your life and deals with you. And then all of a sudden that chapter closes. Now I'm going to go out and get a career. And I'm just going to, okay, I'm doing this and navigating life. But with every season or station of life, maybe single to married to if you can have children, whatever station, different stations, all of a sudden you're a grandparent, you're having to deal with parents and as they age and get older. And that's something my wife and I've been navigating a lot over the last number of years. And, you know, there's not like, okay, here's your book. Here's what, you know, here's five steps to caring for your parents as they, there's so much you deal with that you're like, Lord, help me. You know, it's not like, okay, I'm going to go take a class on this and then I'm going to come back and have all this down. No, that's not reality. You're navigating stuff that's like, whoa. So much education, if you will. Lord, I'm looking to you in this moment. Lord, I'm looking to you. I thought my life was going in this direction, and all of a sudden something happens and it implodes, and now I'm wondering here, picking up the pieces, trying to figure out what is going on. Life can be brutal at times, and it can be harsh. And I think that if we know that the Lord is good, no matter how difficult or painful, we can find comfort in that God has a plan, because his ultimate plan is always redemptive. It's always to lead us first and foremost to himself so that he can be our aid, our place of help, our place of encouragement, our place of love, our place of healing, our place of restoration, our place of deliverance, our place of breakthrough. So much of our lives is a constant transformation of the grace of God working and teaching us and opening our eyes to see something about ourselves we've never seen before, but all of a sudden God shows us and it's like, oh, wow, Lord, help me in this area. And with every station of life, there's another chapter where you're going, okay, Psalm 121. Lord, I'm lifting up my eyes to the mountains from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God, help me. I need you. I need your grace. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need encouragement. I need strength. Life can sometimes hit you like one wave after another, just bam, bam, and it just can be deflating. But that's when we know I come to the mountain for where I can get my help. There were so many times in situations in pastoring, people would walk into my office and I would listen to them and tears, my eyes, their eyes. And I just said, I'm so sorry. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have an answer. I don't know. But this much I do know. God has an answer. And as many times as I've prayed and read the Bible and studied and served people, I just want to give you something. I can't give you something that's going to sustain you to the degree what Jesus can give you that's going to sustain you. At the end of the day, he has an answer for you. At the end of the day, he knows your pain and your difficulty. At the end of the day, he sees the challenges you're facing, and he can help you overcome those. It's just sometimes it's just one foot in front of the other. Sometimes it's just showing up and just letting God be God in your life and not trying to make something happen. Let me close with a Psalm 23. Very familiar, of course. It's like Psalm 121. Never gets old. The Lord is my shepherd, my keeper. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Here's what I want you to hear. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. The keeper of your life, my life, follows us in his love and in his mercy, with goodness and mercy. You have an advocate with the Father, the Bible says, Christ Jesus the righteous. Pastor Mike, I had a really bad day yesterday. I acted ugly. You have an advocate. He's your keeper. He's not a punisher. He's not manipulating you like, okay, you better get back in the Bible or I'm not going to bless you. He's your very present help in time of trouble. Can we stand to our feet this morning? Let's pray. Father, you know where all of us are this morning. Lord, we lift up our eyes to you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. You're already here. And I just pray, Father, for those here today that are hurting. You see where they're at today. And today, Lord, you are the God of all comfort, the God of all encouragement, and the God of all hope. Lord, we pray today for the wind of your grace to come and breathe on them. Breathe on them today, Lord, Holy Spirit of God. Now, as we're all praying, if you're here today and, Pastor Mike, I've got some pain I just need to let go of, or I need to release, or I need God to touch me deep in my heart, I want you just to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm hurting. And I pray that you would deliver me from my hurt. Touch my heart. Touch my soul. Heal my heart today. And bring strength. If there's somebody you need to forgive just today, just say, Lord, I forgive, and you fill in the blank. Forgiveness is exactly what Jesus taught us on the cross. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Just fill in the blank. Perhaps maybe somebody hurt you. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. You didn't deserve it. Maybe you went through something and God and something happened. But God's here today to set the captives free. There's no magic formula you don't have to perform. Just simply say, Jesus, change my heart. Deliver me from this hurt. Deliver me from this pain. God, set me free. I forgive. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. I didn't deserve that. I forgive. I forgive. Maybe others here, you're here today and it's just, life's kind of taken a couple of blows at you, swings at you, excuse me. You've taken a couple of blows. Jesus touched them today. Lord, you're able to comfort us in our affliction. You're able to comfort us in our pain, in our hardship, and in our difficulty. Lord, comfort them today as only you can. Lord, like apples of gold and settings of silver, Father, is a word rightly spoken in right season. Lord, I ask you for any person here today that needs a word from your throne, from your grace, that you would speak to them today. Speak to them. Deposit something in their heart and their soul. Deposit something. Deposit something, God. Be the anchor of their heart, their soul. Your word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Give them a word that sustains them for life. While we're praying here this morning, I feel like the Lord's just telling, there's somebody here, I want you to hear this. You're going to make it. I know you're hurting. I know you're hurting. I know it's hard. God has a plan. If you'll just trust him, you're going to make him. He's got you. He's your dad. He's going to wrap his arms around you. He's going to hold you like you've never been held before. And he's going to embrace you. Tell you, child, you are mine. I've got you. Rest in my love. Rest in my care. I've got you. Lord, I just pray for everyone here today that you would seal this in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Can we just honor him again, Jesus, for that word this morning? God is good. Just being reminded of a few things that we've got coming up this week. So remember, we've got Word and Worship Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. That'll be in the Legacy Room. And our own Allison is going to be leading that for us on Wednesday night. And then we've got the Circle Worship on Friday night at 7 p.m. That will be in the Sanctuary. And next week, we'll be starting a new sermon series entitled Unshakable. We're going to be covering the book of 2 Peter. So we'll be jumping back into the Word next Sunday. So looking forward to that. You are dismissed. We'll be here having the altars open for prayer if you need prayer. Otherwise, you have an amazing Sunday afternoon.